As we start, I'd like you to use your imagination for just a moment. I want you to put yourself in the sandals of those disciples. You've been hanging around this Jesus guy for 3 years. You've come to the realization that not only is he the coolest, nicest guy you've ever met, but as a Jew, you're starting to realize, you're starting to believe that Jesus is who he claims to be. The Son of God. The Old Testament's promised life-giving King. And now you find yourself in Jerusalem. You're relaxing with him and your friends. You're enjoying a feast together. I assume lamb koftas with a side dish of olive oil flatbreads. A nice mug of wine. And then this bombshell moment comes from Jesus. He announces that he's leaving and heading back to his Father in heaven. How do those disciples feel? What are the emotions and the thoughts that are going through John and the other disciples as they hear this? Well, surely they're feeling a little bit sad, worried, anxious. All of us in this room know what it's like to feel lost and worried about the future. Well, Jesus knows what his friends are thinking and feeling, and he comforts them in their times of trouble. He comforts them with a command and then help to keep the command and obey the command. And so we carry on this evening as Jesus continues to answer Philip's question from verse 8. We covered some of the answer last week, and we'll pick up the rest of the answer this evening. Verse 8 was the question. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And as we carry on with Jesus' answers, verses 15 to 21, we see that Spirit-filled disciples love and obey Jesus. Spirit-filled disciples love and obey Jesus. Jesus says, verse 15, have a look down with me. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." if you're someone here this evening who is trying to work out what a Christian is, well, it's kind of right here in verse 15. It's a people who love Jesus and try to obey Jesus. So the gospel, the good news of Jesus, turns life the right way up. You and I are not left in the darkness trying to work out how to please a God who may or may not exist. Jesus has shown up in history. He has told us what God is like and what we're to do with that information. We're to love Jesus and keep his commandments. This word love that is used in verse 15, it was used back in John chapter 11 to describe Jesus' love for Lazarus, who had died. This word love is used 21 times in this upper room of Jerusalem. And it's used 10 times in this evening's passage alone. Compelled by his love for us, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Well, the disciples are to love Jesus in return. And that love, that faithful love, is expressed by faithful obedience to Jesus. So let's be clear. I don't make Gemma a cup of tea in the morning to make her love me. I make her a cup of tea in the morning because she loves me. It's similar to the gospel of Jesus. I don't obey Jesus' commands to make him love me. I obey him because he loves me, and I love him in response. The problem is that if you've been a Christian for more than just a few minutes, well, this command in verse 15 seems a little bit overwhelming. Because the Christian's love and obedience to Jesus can be hot one day and cold the next. We find obedience to these commands of Jesus found in his word. We find them hard to follow. Well, thankfully, Jesus gives help to obey the impossible. Verse 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit will come as the disciples' helper. Notice in verse 17 that the Holy Spirit is a he. He, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the triune God. So the Holy Spirit isn't some impersonal force. This isn't Star Wars. Although having a lightsaber in my pocket would be pretty cool. Jesus gives his disciples help to assist and to enable to love Jesus and obey his commands. And this isn't short-term help. This isn't a self-help book or anything like that. He will give you a helper to be with you forever. God, the Holy Spirit, will dwell, live with inside his disciples, and now for his people, the church, today. So if you are a lover of Jesus this evening, well then you have his Spirit living within you. God is helping you to love and obey Jesus' commands. See, John and the disciples, they're not abandoned by Jesus as he goes back to his Father. He doesn't ask them to do this huge job of telling the world about Jesus on their own. No, Jesus asked his Father, and the Father gives the disciples the Holy Spirit. And the church today has not been abandoned. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. See, Jesus shows us that as he goes to be with his Father in heaven, Philip and Peter and John and the other disciples will not be left alone. Have a look down at those verses again. It says, I will come to you. You will see me. I will live. You will live. You love me, and I will love you and manifest myself to you. Jesus himself will come to dwell, to live in the believers by his Holy Spirit. And so Christians are in the intimate family of God. I hope you find these words encouraging. In a world that longs for intimacy, for belonging, and for life, all other religions look to obey their God and find that intimacy with him, to be loved by the creator of the universe. Well, it's yours if you trust in Jesus. Believe in him, and as he prepares a place for you, he will dwell in you by his Spirit. By the Spirit's help, he will help us to love Jesus, and he will help us to obey his commands, his word. Way back in verse 8, Philip asked to see God the Father. And if you're someone here this evening trying to find out what God is like, well, Jesus says, look at me and you will see my Father. Jesus says, listen to me and you will hear my Father speak. Jesus says, pray in my name and you will see my Father working. Jesus says, love and obey, and he will be with you by his Spirit. But also, if you're a believer here this evening, someone who is trusting in Jesus and wanting your relationship with Jesus to grow, to love him more, well, it's the same, right? Keep looking at Jesus. Keep listening to him. Keep praying in his name. keep loving and obeying him by God the Father's help in giving his Spirit. But then verse 22, Judas pipes up. John helpfully reminds us that Judas Iscariot has already gone at this point to betray Jesus. And now the other Judas asks the final question from the disciples. Verse 22, have a look down. Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Verses 22 to 31, we see Spirit-filled disciples convinced of Jesus. Spirit-filled disciples convinced of Jesus. Judas's question, verse 22, is how? How come you're going to show yourself to us believers, and then keep the world in the dark? That seems like a pretty good question, right? How is Jesus going to show himself to the rest of the world? I mean, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, well, how is the world going to hear about this? Well, Jesus continues to answer their questions, verse 23, and he's staying on theme. It's a wonderful thing. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Do you notice how Jesus reiterates his command for the believers? Love Jesus, keep his word. And that word, keep his word, is that of a prison guard, to watch over attentively. So Christians from all generations, starting with the disciples, are to hold on to Jesus' teaching, not shifting from his words, not watering it down to make it culturally relevant, not cutting out the bits that we don't like. Maybe the Church of England would like to read verse 23 and hear the warning of verse 24. Because as Jesus and John do throughout John's gospel, we're given the other side of the coin. One side, you've got belief. The other side, unbelief. And we've seen belief and unbelief in the upper room in these chapters. Here we have 11 disciples who by faith want to love Jesus. And yet verse 22, there's a very subtle reminder that there was one unbelieving disciple, Judas Iscariot, who has left Jesus and gone to betray him. And so the church today needs to hear the warning that was given to the disciples. A faithful love for Jesus is shown by hearing and keeping Jesus' words. Because a Spirit-filled church is a word-filled church. The Spirit of God and the Word of God, they go hand in hand. But where does the church get its words from? Well, again, you and I, we don't need to panic at this point. Jesus again shows them what the Spirit, the Helper, will do, verses 25 and 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Notice the you in verse 26. Teach you, remind you. This is a promise for the disciples in that room. God the Holy Spirit will help those 11 disciples to remember all the things that Jesus taught them. The Spirit will help the disciples to grasp the significance of all that they'd seen and heard and understand what Jesus meant. Now again, John is brilliantly honest throughout his entire gospel. In John chapter 2, for example, Jesus has just cleared the temple. And then John at the end of that scene wrote, when he, Jesus, was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So at that time when Jesus cleared the temple and Jesus explained it, they had no idea what was going on. And on his own, John would have forgotten to write it down, probably. But with the Spirit's help, John remembered it, he understood it, and he wrote it down. And it's good for us that he wrote it down, because these things are written so that you and I may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you and I can have life in his name. You and I don't need to be in a special place or a special position or find a certain time of day to hear God speak. As an older Christian once said, if you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read your Bible out loud. Jesus' words are written down for our good by the apostles. And these are the words of eternal life, given to us by the Holy Spirit, written down by the apostles. And so the church today guards his words. How do we do that? Well, are we loving Jesus by listening to his word? As an asthmatic, it's always pretty foolish for me to go on a run or to play Monday night football without my asthma pump. Well, how foolish, how arrogant I think I am when I think I can go a day without God's life-giving word. Because Jesus is the one person who can offer peace and life. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. This isn't a peace that the world might claim to offer, because the world cannot give peace. No matter where you or I turn to in this world, you will find hatred, selfishness, bitterness, fear. Only in Jesus will we find peace. Verse 29. I have told you before that it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Jesus again points his friends to the hour of the cross, the only place where you or I can find peace with God. Because Jesus is the only obedient Son of God, who does as his Father has commanded him. Verse 31, so that the world may know that Jesus loves the Father. Three times Jesus has commanded his disciples to love and obey him. But disciples simply follow the king's example. Verse 31, Jesus' love and obedience towards his Father, which is supremely shown in his obedient and sacrificial death. And so with the Spirit's help, the world will hear about the cross of Jesus. As the loving and obedient church tells other people about Jesus, the loving, obedient Son. Let's pray together. Father, with great thanks, we thank you for your Son, our King, our Saviour. Please, Father, by your Spirit, would you help us to love him, obey him, and tell the world about him. We ask this in his name. Amen.